most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Two white guys doing Lawrence Holmes show.
Middays on The Score.
That's the math. That's what it takes. That's the actual conversion rate. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday when they host Illinois at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
So a lot of conversation as it regards the Bears. It's a big day at the NFL Combine when your GM talks and your head coach talks, and regardless of what they say and how they skate around all the questions offered to them, Ryan Pace doesn't talk a whole heck of a lot, and he did today. You caught something from Matt Nagy, though, as it regards the coaching staff he's assembled. This idea of Juan Castillo, the new offensive line coach, as a guy who's going to push people to the right places or maybe even pass to those places?
Yeah, he said it about DeFilippo when he said this is a guy who's not afraid to take the gloves off and be demonstrative and maybe be a bit of a bad cop. Sounds like it's the same for their offensive line.
Coach Castillo, here's the best part of him is he pushes you like none other. So when you get out to practice and you see how hard he works these guys, he's going to push them to their brink. But at the same time, they're going to know that he fall for, on a sword for them.
Push him to their brink. Does he mean physically? Does he mean mentally? Does he mean both? For him to go there and use that as a reason why, maybe we can fill in the blanks for what he thinks was missing from the previous staff.
Maybe. Listening to that, though, makes me feel like a little bit like Matt Nagy feels a little bit like Theo Epstein's felt the last 2 years. You know, that they've got what they've got. They have the players they have. The ability to maneuver around roster-wise isn't really there for them, especially when it comes to the offensive line. Kyle Long is gone, and they freed up some money there, but you know what it's going to be. It's going to be Massey and then whatever new right guard they find, plus James Daniels, plus Cody Whitehair, and I guess they could flop those back and forth if they felt like it. And then Charles Leno on the left side. It kind of feels like, you know, our team's on the field, coach, so coach them harder. Try harder. We're going to try harder this year. We're going to coach harder. We're just going to do all of that stuff harder. And it'll be better this year because it has to be. And I don't really like those answers. I don't really like having to be in that spot. It might be that Juan Castillo is able to better coach an offensive line philosophy that marries with Matt Nagy's overall scheme, this idea of being pass catchers as opposed to run blockers. You know, the guys are going to step back and just hold off a little while, create a pocket that Mitch can theoretically step up in, even though that makes me shake some when I say it. Like the idea that could be better for Castillo than it was for, you know, than it was for offensive line coaches past, fine, I guess. But look, they're going to have to do it with the guys they've got.
You're learning about your Bears today because it's not often that Ryan Pace speaks. He's not like most general managers in sports, so his words carry more weight when we actually get words that aren't being filtered through a team broadcast, when he actually has to stand in front of independent media trying to play an adverse role in getting information from him. Northwest Side, Dave, you're on The Score.
Yeah, a couple of comments. I think everyone agrees. Trubisky's, either way, he's on a short leash. There's no way around that. And Pace is tethered to him. I think he gets fired regardless with Trubisky. My problem.
Wait. You think he gets fired regardless of what?
No, not regardless. I misspoke. Trubisky and Pace are tight at the hip. I just don't think he. I don't know what the contract with Pace is, but I just don't think he survives misdrafting this kid if he just doesn't work out. I hope he does, but I don't think he's gonna. But that's not the reason for my call. My call was about Nagy. In his first minute of his press conference, in two sentences, he said he's working at being a great coach, and then he's working at being a great play caller. He's not Andy Reid or Sean Payton or Kyle Shanahan. This guy is wearing two hats when I don't think he's doing a great job with either one. I think he's got to focus. He's the head coach. There's 32 jobs, and he's on the job training and wants to be great. They need him to be great now. They got a defense that can win.
He was coach of the year 2 years ago.
okay, two years ago, is that lightning in a bottle? Or do we take this last year and possibly this year?
You look at both. You look at his body of work in its entirety.
And I think when we look back on it, and they probably all die on the Trubisky Hill, I hope that they get the credit or the fire they deserve, because there is complicit or more than one player.
Do you think the coaching staff draws criticism?
Field. What?
You don't think the coaching staff's been criticized?
I don't think Nagy has been held to the standard that Trubisky has been held to as the quarterback.
Oh, I do. I do. Nagy got pounded all year last year. Where you been? He got destroyed.
I've been I think his leash is a lot longer than Trubisky's, and I think he's just as accountable.
Yeah.
I really think that.
Dave, appreciate the phone call, man. I think his leash is longer than Mitch Trubisky's is. And whether that's fair or not, you know, I mean, you don't think it is.
I think there's a reason why. Because I think we knew when he was hired. People who knew him well said you might be getting him a year or two too early.
It's true. But if you were looking at the track record that Dave wanted us to look at, Matt Nagy's track record offensively is a team that struggles to score 20 points with any kind of regularity.
Correct.
There are absolutely issues with play calling, with a run game, with an established identity, just from both an eye test and a statistical test. Those things kind of all, if not fail, then come real close to doing so in 2 years of Matt Nagy's offense. And that's why you've had an entire shift in, well, as large a shift as you have had in offensive personnel. Well, coaching personnel. I mean, you've got a remake of people. Sure, it's a Dave Ragone elevation, but I think that's mostly because they've identified a guy that they think works well regardless of system or regardless of quarterback. I don't know if they're right on that, but I think that's why they made him the passing game coordinator and elevated him within the coaching scheme and coaching ladder that they did. I think Matt Nagy's wearing the coaching hat fine. Not great, not poorly, but I do think that it speaks to his ability to be a head coach in the NFL that he was able to stop the team from fracturing completely last season. When you have that big a difference between offensive output and defensive output, and it's so damn clear that the offense is letting the other side of the ball down, you get teams that fracture. We talked about this a lot last season. The fact that Matt Nagy was able to stave that off matters. How much is totally up to you as a Bears fan. You get to determine that. I can't tell you how much to determine that. That matters to me a good deal, but not enough to overcome any kind of deficiency offensively or any kind of continued endorsement of Mitch Trubisky throughout a 16-game season in 2020.
Yeah, I would look at a couple different things here. I would evaluate his season as a play caller and as an offensive mind was pretty bad. They were always behind everything. They were completely discombobulated. There was no rhyme or reason to what they were doing. While that was happening, I think he did a decent job as a head coach with steering his team to 8-8. When that thing could really have nosedived on
Absolutely.
You, where there have been teams across the league that have just said, yeah, you know what, we're tuning this guy out, forget it, we're quitting. They didn't, despite serious injuries across the board.
For Ryan Pace, I do think a different decision-making process has to be involved. Because it's not just 2 years of Ryan Pace. You know, you can look at the 12 draft picks he's had in the first and second rounds. Some wins, a lot of losses, a lot of meh. You've got Eddie Jackson late, who gets a big contract. He's the highest paid safety in the league right now. And that's absolutely a medal he gets to wear on his lapel, right? Good for you. You got one there. But I really do think that a GM's future in this league, that his title, that his reputation is at stake when you make the move he did for the quarterback he got. I think he needs to be held accountable for that. And I wouldn't let him pick the next one. But I don't think the Bears are going to hold him to the same kind of accountability that I'm willing to.
This segment is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Great food at a great price at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Joe and Munster's on the score. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to ask if people have taken notice of the order of position coaches that were hired. You had Juan Castillo and then the tight end coach, and then you have Bill Lazor, and then DeFilippo.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about Trubisky as being a trash quarterback. In 2018, this kid led the NFL in air yard completions over 50-plus yards. And, yes, I know they had a bad year. But, I mean, when he came back from that torn labrum he had against Minnesota, okay, his first pass of the second half came with being down 26-10 the second half. So, I mean, I get it. It's a quarterback-driven league. GMs are tied to quarterbacks. But it's time to really, really, you know, take a deep dive and figure out just what is hurting this team. And it's really the offensive line.
I give you that, Dave, that the offensive line hasn't been as good as it should be, but they were fine pass blocking last year. Look at the numbers. Look at the sack totals. Look at the pressures. They were fine when it comes to pass, but could they have been better? Yeah, absolutely.
Mitch Trubisky wasn't bad because of blocking.
No, but it just wasn't.
Mahomes has a top five offensive line. Top five.
Yeah,
you're just saying that you think they're a top five offensive line?
If you think the offensive line is the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky, I don't know what to tell you.
That's where we're at here. I don't know if he's got anything to say to it. There you go. It's not. That's not the difference.
No, if you flip-flop it those helps. Guys, the Chiefs are way worse and the Bears are way better.
Mitch isn't accurate. He fails to make reads. Hell, we were breaking down tape last season where there's an RPO and he reads the wrong guy. He doesn't see open receivers. That's on a play where the offensive line is doing a particular something on that RPO to give Mitch the look he needs to diagnose where he needs to go with the football.
His own head coach keeps saying it publicly. He needs to understand what's going on better. He needs to watch film better. He needs to read coverages better. He doesn't know what he's seeing. He's telling you that. And that's not an offensive line problem.
No, it's not. For what it's worth, Pro Football Focus ranked the offensive lines last season. The Chiefs came out 16th in the NFL. The Bears came out 25th in the NFL. And part of that was the pressure they allowed and how quickly they allowed it, which is a problem. But pass blocking, that they were okay. They were fine. They were league average. And in my opinion, if you're able to put league average out there as a unit like that, as an offensive line specifically, then it is on the quarterback to raise the level of play everywhere else. That didn't happen.
There's an email from Stonecutter who said, Connor, after you reported the Bears met with Jake Fromm, he said, Jake Fromm's going to be a Bear. I've believed this ever since the Trubisky situation became untenable.
Really?
Jake Fromm basically is Alex Smith. He's the total inverse of Trubisky. Weak arm, not super mobile, but can read the defense and is more accurate. I fully expect the Bears to make him their number one target, and I won't be surprised if they move to the back end of the first round to take him. Yeah, the Alex Smith comp falls apart with athleticism, though, because Alex Smith could really move.
Yeah, he could.
In college, you remember him at Utah. He was very athletic.
Sure, and even in the first couple of years of the NFL, he was as well. But remember what unlocked Alex Smith in his last healthy season. I'm trying to remember this exactly right. In his last healthy season with the Chiefs was their willingness to get downfield with the football. It was I remember the conversation pretty vividly because it was finally Alex Smith being unleashed and asked to go downfield. And certainly the weapons around him helped some, and maybe he had some of those with the San Francisco, maybe he didn't, but he was finally pushing the ball downfield. And at some point, if accuracy is a given, if you're able to put the ball where you want to, being willing to go downfield opens up other things for you, whether you hit those shots or not. I mean, granted, you gotta hit some of them. You can't just be like a completely loose cannon out there and not hit a damn one. But the willingness to push the ball downfield changes it some. We saw that with Joe Flacco and the Ravens when it was all this, is Joe Flacco elite, right?
No.
It's the same kind of conversation.
No, he's not. This is Jeff in Tinley Park on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, covering for Lawrence Holmes.
Hey, guys. I got a couple questions, but to add on to that, Jake Fromm, thank you, Dan, for that assessment. He's Jake Fromm is – I'm not a big Jake Fromm fan, but I'm also not a big Mitch fan either, but – what I do wonder if Mitch was taken in another draft, because to your point, Dan, you said earlier that we heard that he might be being taken a year or more too early. So,
no, I said that about Nagy.
Oh, about Mitch being taken a year too early.
No, I said that about Matt Nagy.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, I still think Mitch was taken a year or two too early, you know, with his little college experience. So would we be being more patient if we weren't comparing him to the other two? If those two are not in his same draft, I mean, you look at Baker Mayfield, you know, being with, you know, would he be, if Mitch was taken in that draft, would he be getting, would we be more patient with him as opposed to how we are now because
maybe
of the speed that Mahomes and Watson ascended to? I mean,
maybe, but that's, it doesn't make it unfair.
No, I guess it is. That is true. And I guess, well, to my point about what I was going to say about Ryan Pace is every time I kind of like Ryan Pace, but it's either he's either fired up about something or he doesn't have an answer or he won't answer something. It's never – he can never give you like a general, you know, it's either he's – like I said, he's super fired up about something or he won't even answer – bother answering it, and it frustrates me. And I understand he's that's his right to do that. Maybe we'd be doing the same thing if we were in his shoes, but it's infuriating that there's no clarity. It's just – continue talk, blah, 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 and just wait till a move is made.
And then they don't talk. That's the thing. And then when
they won't speak.
When the move is actually made, they don't immediately come out to tell you how, why, when, and what went into it. And that's why we take it for granted that, you know, a guy like Stan Bowman, immediately after the trade deadline, there he is. He's on with Mullin Hall telling you, here's why we did this, and here was this, and here was this. And it's not always satisfying, but at least the guy's available. The guy's there. You know, Rick Hahn does it all the time. Theo and Jed do it all the time.
Constantly. Even in a conversation where a GM doesn't reveal a whole lot, you'll still find some ways in which they talk about some things and talk about some options and talk about what's keeping them from saying what you'd like them to say. There were two instances, where at least two instances, but I caught two where Ryan Pace gave you hard and fast answers about what the Bears have and don't have. One was the draft picks. The fact that they expect to have eight draft picks, two twos, a compensatory four, a five, two sixes, and two sevens. And another was the potential of an extension to one very meaningful player. I'll tell you who that was in case you missed it. We'll talk about what it means to perhaps extend one of the most meaningful Bears in the last couple of seasons. Bernstein and McKnight in for Lawrence Holmes. Bears conversation at 670 The Score.
The Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
Hi, I'm...
It's easy to upgrade to a new ride when you shop from the heart at Marino Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Like a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited with navigation. Lease for only $299 a month during the President's Day event. Act now and save. Make it easy. Make it fast. Make it fun. Make it Marino. Voted Dealer Raiders 2020 Dealer of the Year. Example stock 2069. 42 months, 10,000 miles per year. No security deposit. $29.95 down payment. First payment tax title and license fees due at signing. On approved credit through Chrysler Capital. See dealer for details. Ends 3-2-20.
Gee, cold cereal.
Granola.
Listen, does that sound like a satisfying breakfast to you? I think we'd rather hear sausage on the griddle, freshly toasted English muffin, a satisfying bite into a McDonald's breakfast sandwich. So let's wake up breakfast, Chicagoland. Now enjoy a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, or hash browns. Any two for $2. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Mom, delivery!
You've been loading up on things from Walmart.
Yeah, I used my new Capital One Walmart Rewards card. It earns unlimited 5% back on everything I buy from Walmart online.
Say what?
5% back.
Say what?
5% back.
Say what now?
5% back!
With what?
The Capital One Walmart Rewards card. Earn unlimited rewards, including 5% back at Walmart online on top of Walmart's everyday low prices. What's in your wallet?
Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One USA N.A.
Get pumped, NBA fans, because owning a piece of basketball history has never been easier. Auctions.nba.com is the official home of authentic NBA game-worn memorabilia. Bid on one-of-a-kind items like Stephen Curry's playoffs jersey, LeBron James's All-Star warm-up jacket, and Kevin Durant's Christmas Day jersey. And with winning bids as low as $25, there's something for everyone. Visit auctions.nba.com today and claim your piece of the NBA. This is why we play.
Transcranial Magnetic Therapy, or TMS, is a promising new treatment for millions of veterans suffering from PTSD.
If you've gotten treated for depression and tried four different medications, the likelihood the fifth is going to work is about 5%. If you get TMS, the likelihood you'll have no symptoms by the time you're done is 40%.